Well, good morning, everyone. There have been a few people that have called, and so they weren't going to come in, and that's all good. You do what you feel like you need to do, but it's all good. So it is amazing to me, and not making light of anything, but amazes to me. I wonder how this generation would do with typhoid or the smallpox when it came out, or even, well, no one did well with the Black Plague because we know it wiped out of millions of people. But things happen. And this, as we said on Wednesday, we talked about troubles and problems and all those kind of things and how faith can defeat those things. And today I want to share with you some things on how I want to share with you all how faith can override and conquer your greatest fears and your stresses and your anxieties and all your worries. We serve a great God. But I will tell you this. We are in a time of, we're also in a time of where our faith is being tested. Our faith is being tested. Stress and worries are normal. It's a part of life. But it's how you handle them. That's what we're going to talk about today. Amen? Amen. All right, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 12. That's what we're going to do. And as you turn there, of course, they made President Trump wanted to make this day a national day of prayer. So before I forget, throughout the rest of your day, make sure you're praying for all the things that we talked about, our country, our leaders, the sickness, all those kind of things, and our missionaries, and all of those things. It is going to disrupt some things. But I want to tell you, media can change, but God's word never does. You can trust that word, okay? You can trust that word. And so just want to remind you to make this day a day of prayer throughout the rest of your day. And I think we just kind of got to do it all the way through. And we'll do that. So, but I want to come up to this part in Luke chapter 12. And Luke chapter 12 has a part there that where I just want to read one verse here. And just in the beginning, it says, "In the meantime, when an innumerable a multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples," Jesus has a group of people that is so large, they're trampling over each other. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? Just they were bumping, and I don't know if you've ever been to a large concert or a hockey game or a baseball game where they won the championship. Everybody runs everywhere. These people are everywhere. And Jesus somehow knows how to stay calm through all of that. And he begins to do some teaching and some good stuff. And then somebody opens up their mouth and throws this. So Jesus is talking to his disciples. And somebody from the crowd fires out a question. He fires this piece out. He says in verse 13, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" And all of a sudden, this is about me, and I want something right here. This is about things and money and an inheritance. And Jesus says, I'm not the judge. I'm not the arbitrator. And he goes into talking, and Jesus begins to talk about covetousness and those kind of things. And he's speaking directly to that individual. But then he moves and he shifts. Jesus knows how to do this crowd thing. There's times when he's talking to the crowd, and then he turns and he says, "Then he said to his disciples." This is when he looks at his disciples and says something, this is important stuff. There's important stuff when he's talking to the crowd, but when he turns to his disciples, it's always very important. And that's what I want to talk to you about, this important, because they were listening to all this stuff. All these words about things and items and all this stuff, and they've left everything. Remember, they've left everything. And you got to remember also that, this crowd is just amazing. And then he said to his disciples in chapter 22, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn. And God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Which is, can you cannot even add one single hour to your life. Verse 27, or 26, if you are then not able to do this, the least, why are you so anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. He wanted to tell them and talk to them about their worries. These worries that we worry about. And we already have daily worries, and I kind of have anxieties and stress and those things. But this country stresses out big time. We worry more than this country, I do my research, this country takes more anxiety pills than many big, large countries combined. Yet this country is, I'm not saying that there are not those supposed to take those, but I'm just telling you, the part, Scripture is key. Scripture is key to success in life. It is. I'm not saying if you take those, don't take those, but I'm telling you, we are looking in the wrong direction when it comes to certain things. We worry, we stress, we have a fear. We fear things that we ought not to fear. But these things are a part of life. I mean, these things are serious. I get that. But today, we have people who worry about things that haven't even happened yet. And right now, when we go through those things, that's when your faith is tested. But Jesus says we're not to worry about our life. We are supposed to have given our life to him. We're supposed to have done that. We're not supposed to worry about the money. We're not supposed to worry about those things. Because he keeps saying, if you seek his kingdom, all these things will be added unto you. He'll take care of those needs. I shared it last Wednesday. I've shared it many times. Other times, when this church is financially upside down, I'm telling you, God meets the needs. Why? Because we seek his kingdom. It's a scripture experience of the scripture. You first seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. When you do it God's way, you're not, it isn't just, listen, there are people that are believers who read the word and they believe the word. But there are also other believers who read the word, believe the word, and experience the word, which is the power of God. And when your faith is in him, you'll see that that's how, this is not just something to read and walk away. This is something to read, try to understand it, believe it, have faith, and experience it. Listen, you can read the word about salvation, but if you don't experience it, you don't have salvation. You have to experience the word. And we don't talk about that. We just want to teach, but we don't teach people how, we don't tell people that they need to experience it. Which means you need to fall into it. And we worry so much. We worry about things so much that they take over our lives. Scripture says we worry, and doesn't even, the scripture just told us that worrying won't even add a single moment to your life. Actually, it takes away. It don't add, it takes away. It takes a lot of it away. Worrying changes nothing. But what worrying does is it stresses you out. How many of you have been stressed out? You stress out by letting worrying take over. I'm stressing out. When you stress out, we'll talk about that in a little bit. You say things you know you shouldn't say. Okay? But worry is not good. It's not good. But one thing I've learned in this scripture's reading is that it says God's people are important to him. What did it say? He said, God's people are important to him. He says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which they have neither store barn nor storehouse, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? Look over at verse 6. He says, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? At verse 7, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are more valuable than many sparrows. What God is saying, what the scripture is saying, what Jesus is saying is you're important to God. You're important to God. You're important to Him. He's saying, I know every bird in nature that falls to the ground and dies. Now, if you think about that for a moment, that is huge. There's billions of birds and different kinds of birds all through this big old round ball called the earth. And there are a lot of birds, a lot of animals, just birds, specifically birds, are going to die. And God knows every one of them and every one of them where they fall. And He says, you're more important than them. And He says, they don't have barns. They don't have a place where they eat on a daily. They eat as needed. And He says, I'll take care of you. We don't want that. We want that, but we don't want to live like that. There are a lot of people who live like that. And we're supposed to trust Him with our daily necessities. And trust Him with it. But not only do we worry, we also have this thing called anxiety. We worry about something that hasn't happened yet, or we worry about something that has already happened, and we just keep worrying about it, and it begins an anxiety, and it affects us physically. And so we have this anxiety, and we're not very good with holding our anxiety together. That's when worrying just kind of takes over. But the Bible is clear once again. 1 Peter 5:7, Bible says, cast all your anxieties before Him because He cares for you. We're supposed to give that anxiety to Christ. We're supposed to cast it at His feet and say, Lord, here's my problem. I'm stressing out. I got all kinds of anxiety over this, and I need to pray about this. I need to keep laying that before the Lord. I need to keep working that out, because if I'm not talking to Christ, I'm talking about the problem. And if I'm not talking to Him about it, I'm usually talking to somebody else, and it's usually you're stressing out, and then anxiety takes over. And the Bible tells us very clearly that we are not to carry that anxiety alone. But the Bible says we are to cast it at Jesus' feet. Why? Because the Bible just told us He cares for us. Quit thinking God is so far away that He's not right there with you. He is closer than you think. He is closer than you think. So what does it mean? It means our faith needs to grow. I didn't say it. Jesus said this over here in verse 28. Oh, you of little faith. Our faith needs to grow. Our faith needs to grow. Right now you see people and they're stressing out all over it. They're running off there. There's nothing you can buy on the shelves. Listen, that's the way of the world. And the problem is, many of them were probably Christians. You see, these times of testing our faith, listen, this is just something that's even bigger yet to come. Other things will be bigger than this. If you go back in history, there were always big things. And we have really took this thing kind of out of proportion. Just to be honest with you. But the world, I want to remind you that the world is lost. It doesn't know how to survive. It will do anything and everything to fight to survive, but it really doesn't know how to survive. It goes in, the world, lost people go into instinct. We are called to go into the spirit. If you have anxiety in your life and on something, don't let it be boss in your life. You got to fight those fights. But our faith needs to grow. Even Jesus said our faith needs to grow. And He said, seek the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? Seek the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is all the things that are part of God, the attributes, the parts of God, all the believers, His kingdom. It is the being the obedient follower of Christ, a doer of the word. All things that pertain to God, all things that pertain to his believers, heaven, all those things, this is his kingdom. It's his kingdom. And we're to seek that kingdom, not this worldly kingdom. There is a prince of the air, and it's Satan himself, and he's the prince of this nasty mess. And I need to seek the kingdom in times like this. I need to seek the kingdom all the time, but in times like this, I need to seek the kingdom. If I don't seek the kingdom, I will step into fear. And that is exactly where Satan wants you to go. Fear. Being afraid. Afraid of what you don't know is going to happen. Afraid of what you see that is happening. Satan wants the world to live in fear, just even over this virus. Listen, he is having a heyday right now, causing division, causing confusion, all those things. He wants the spirit of fear to come in. He wants the spirit of fear to come into your life. It's what he wants. He wants you to be afraid of everything and everyone. This is what I want to tell you. This is what I say. The fear. What does fear causes people to do? Fear causes people, first of all, to panic. See any of that lately? Anger. It can cause sickness, not because of something, but because of the sickness, because of fear. Fear causes you to make bad decisions and bad choices. It causes some people to become violent, torment, hesitation to do something right, isolations, pulling yourself away, separation, separating yourself from the good things, desperation, doing something that you ought not to do. It's a loss of reality and things, and the spirit of fear can take you to a dark place, and that's exactly where Satan wants to take you. To lock your doors, hide in there, and think the world's coming, and you got 1,500 bottles of water, and you got 16 boxes of ammo, and you got all this stuff. And I'm telling you, if the National Guard ever came in, let me tell you about Cuba. Cuba had free rights, and then they decided to go ahead and vote this certain thing in. And the first thing that the Communist Party came in and took everybody's guns, and everybody said, "Oh, we're going to defend ourselves. Listen, you can't hold off an army. And I don't care about all these groups, these militias, all these groups. Listen, the world has weapons. They can just push a button and then they have to see the enemy. God doesn't want us to bunker in a hole and hide from the world. We're called to let the light shine, not hide the light. But the world sees everything through the eyes of fear. The eyes of fear. And that's what happens. And Satan wants us to do that. Listen, you know, when Jesus died upon the cross and the day of Pentecost came, I'm telling you, fear came upon the area. But I'm telling you, the power of God came upon the people. And there was fear among. But I'm telling you, the power of God was stronger than the fear. And I'm telling you, the power of fear wasn't in the Christians who was being persecuted. It was in the Rome who was fearful of this Jesus Christ who had risen in the power of this thing called the gospel. They couldn't handle it. So they want to put him to death. Fear causes, it's a flip of it. But what happens to Christians who fall into fear? That's where I want to spend just a moment, because sometimes we as Christians, we fall into that fear. Now there are things, if you can't swim and you fall out of a boat, you're going to panic a little bit. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about those things in life that we should not be fearful of. And if we are fear, we'll talk about that in a minute. But when we have fear as a Christian, there's a loss of spiritual insight. You're losing your spiritual insight as a Christian when fear comes over you. There's a loss of direction. I need to let Jesus lead my life. I need to let the Holy Spirit lead my life. In difficult times, I need to continue to seek him. And I need to be led by his direction, not my direction. Fear now leads and not the Holy Spirit. When you're a Christian and you let fear lead, you're letting fear lead, not the Holy Spirit. Okay? Confusion sets in. Confusion sets in. Emotions take lead instead of the Word of God. Now, we all kind of mess up in that area. Emotions take the lead instead of the Word of God. Faith is fading, and fear is growing. When you let fear take over, your faith begins to diminish as fear begins to grow. There's not room for both. Sin moves in with a vengeance, and it's ready to take over. And I got to say, stop. That's just a lot of stuff, isn't it? That's a lot of stuff on how not to stress out. But I want to tell you what the biblical truths are. And God knows we have worries, and we have these things in life, and we need to learn how to deal with them. And I'm telling you, faith is stronger than your stress. Faith is stronger than your anxieties and your worries of all those things. But you got to key into this thing called faith. How do you know how strong your faith is until it's tested? You can talk about it all you want. What's a testimony of faith that you might have? Let me read something here for you out of Philippians. Philippians is always an awesome book. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, be anxious. That means don't stress out for anything. Be anxious for nothing. Don't stress out over anything. Anything. Paul says, don't stress. If anybody should have been stressing out, it should have been Paul. You can go back there and you can read all the beatings and all the things and the shipwrecks and the imprisonments and all everything. And if you would look at his back, he had all kinds of scars. He had over 80 scars on his back, at least over 80. And he turns around and says, be anxious, don't stress out for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here it is, what conquers fear? And the peace of God. It's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. When you can't figure it out, you don't have an answer. The scripture just said, when you have the peace of God, it covers all the things that you might understand, but it covers all the things that you may not understand. I'm going to trust God with this. I have a peace with this. And it says it will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. And that peace will guard your heart, so it don't drift nowhere else. And guard your minds that it doesn't go crazy and thinking the worst. And it'll do that through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when the Bible says he's got you, he's got you. Amen? He has got you. God's watching, he is not worried, and he never stresses. Amen to that. Hey, God never gets anxiety. He never stresses out. He's in charge. God could just say it, and it could all be done. But God could allow it because he wants his people to fall on his knees. He can allow it because it's a part of life. He can allow it because it's whatever it is. But God's not stressing. We all have to live life, and sometimes life is good, and sometimes it is not so good. And we just can't serve God on the good days, but we got to learn to serve God on those not so good days. And that's about where some of us are right now. And the thing is, this thing has gotten so big, this coronavirus has gotten so big, that we're also beginning to take our focus on some things that we should not take our focus on, off of. We got to remember that we are believers in Christ, okay? This is not doomsday. This is a day of worship. This is not doomsday. This is a day of opportunity. It's not doomsday, it's a wake-up call. Maybe we need to pray a little bit more, amen? Maybe we need to break into his word. Maybe we need to be thinking about our neighbors. Maybe we need to be doing those things. He says, seek the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. But let me tell you one of the most personal pieces. Turn over to Isaiah for a minute, if you have your Bibles. I want you to Isaiah, and if you write in your Bibles, this is a good one to write in. I don't know if you know how close that you are to God. I don't know if you know how important you are to God. But this verse here I'm going to read should tell you that God not only knows who you are, he knows your problems. I love it. This is going to be a new key verse for me because it's awesome. God is speaking to Isaiah. Isaiah's writing. I just want to give you a feel here. He's talking about this awesomeness about the Gentiles coming. And then I love how he gets personal with the Israelites. And you know, as a believer, we're engrafted in, so we're part of the family of God. Amen? It's one verse. It says this, verse 16, Isaiah 49, 16. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Now I'm going to read it from a different version because I think it gets a little more personal here. It says, see, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. God has written his name on the palm of his hands. That means God's got you in his hands. God has you in his hands. Now, if you're not a believer, you're not in his hands. I want to tell you that right now. If you have not come to Christ and the saving power of Jesus Christ, you are not in his hands. You are in the world's hands. But if you come to Christ and accepted that gift of salvation, you are in the palm of God's hands. That means God's got you. Amen? But he also says this, always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls and ruins. What he's saying is, in my mind, in God's mind, there's always a picture of Jerusalem's walls, which are knocked down. God has a people in the palm of his hands, and in his mind, he says, there's things there that have been destroyed. And what happens? There is a time when it gets what? Built back up through Nehemiah. So what I'm saying is, God sees all of it. He sees the turmoil and the problems that his people have, but they're in his hands. And it is also, what this says, it says, also the problems that my people have that I have in their hand is also in my mind too. I don't know about you, but there are some times in my life where I've come across as a believer that I might have had a few doubts. But what's awesome is they never lasted very long. Why is that? Because God's taking care of you. He reminds you of Scripture. He reminds you of things in your life that you went through. He begins to move his Spirit in you, to strengthen you, to grow you, to remind you, to set you up on, get you back on solid ground. You're going to have moments of doubt, but you can't let that doubt lead you. You have to fight that faith. Listen, where do you fight your faith at? You fight your faith on your knees in prayer. You fight your faith speaking to God. You fight your faith by doing what God's Word says and not doing what the Word says. What the world says, because you will have a battle. But you can fight that fight. You can fight that fight knowing that you're in God's hands, that the problems that you have is in his mind. He knows about that. That you're more valuable than all the birds, and he knows all the things that you need. That God's going to take care of all the needs that you need and even some of the things that you want. You can be blessed, even be blessed through all of this stuff as well. Christians today, we need to take our eyes off of the world and put our eyes back on Christ. I'm telling you. The world is all about surviving. The Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus are all about thriving. It's all about living. Not trying to make it through, but actually living eternal things. Faith is powerful. Stress can be powerful. Anxiety can be powerful. Worrisome can be powerful. Fear can be very powerful, but faith beats them all. And the only reason that these others triumph over faith is because we allow it to. We allow it to. We allow it to. You have faith issues. The only way to get it right is through Christ. You have fear issues. The only way to get it right is through Christ. You have anxiety. All those things, we get it through it by Christ and Christ alone. Amen? Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. Some days it gets heavy, but you're still called to carry it. Amen? Now what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment of prayer here for a minute. If you want to come down and you want to pray for whatever we're going through, all this stuff we're going through in the world, that's great.